Hello, this is Randy Thompson from the North Carolina Reading Service. Welcome to Music Review. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. For the next half hour, I shall be reading articles about music from such sources as the New York Times, the News and Observer, the Week Magazine, Rolling Stone, and Entertainment Weekly. Music Review is designed to provide the latest coverage of classical folk, jazz, blues, rock, country, and pop music news. But first, these musical trivia questions. Today's musical trivia questions come to us from the websites theopera101.com and guinnessworldrecords.com. Question number one. At bass, singers are defined by the vocal range of their voice, basically what notes they can sing. But opera has developed a range of conventions for grouping singers with particular vocal styles as well. Operatic voices are grouped into these basic styles: bass, baritone, tenor, countertenor, mezzo-soprano, contralto, and soprano. So which of those voices is the rarest? And question number two, what size choir holds the Guinness Book of Records for the largest to ever assemble and perform? Is that A, 170, B, 540, C, 1,300, D, 11,900, or E, 121,440? Largest choir? The answers to these two important trivia questions will be given, as usual, at the end of today's program. Our transitions come to us from the website onthisday.com, and today, quote-unquote, is the weekend of July 24th. Well, it was on this day back in 1791 that composer Franz Xaver Mozart was born. Born just 4 months before his father's death, Franz Xaver showed precocious talent as a pianist, but seemed forever burdened by the impossibility of living up to his famous father, Wolfgang Amadeus. And it was 41 years ago today, 1979, that Little Richard, known for such rock hits as Good Golly Miss Molly and Whole Lotta Shakin' Goin' On, spoke to a revival meeting in San Francisco about the dangers of rock and roll. The Reverend Richard Penniman, a.k.a. Little Richard, 1979, today.
I'll love you till I die. She told him you'll forget in time. As the years went slowly by, she still preyed upon his mind.
George Jones, He Stopped Loving Her Today, introduces our country music news. It's an article entitled John Lewis, The People's Friend. This is written by Barry Saunders, published in the News and Observer on the 21st of July, 2020. There are only two possible answers when it comes to the saddest country music song of all time. It's either I'm So Lonesome I Could Cry by Hank Williams, or He Stopped Loving Her Today by George Jones. Fight me. Think about it. Just reciting, have you ever seen a robin weep when leaves begin to die? That means he's lost the will to live. I'm So Lonesome I Could Cry is enough to send you running for the Jack and Coke, or make you hide all of your sharp utensils. And when in the middle of a mournful dirge about a man whose love could only be ended by death, George recites, she came to see him one last time. We all wondered if she would. And it kept running through my mind, this time he's over her for good. Man, you just don't want to be bothered after that.
He stopped loving her today.
had placed a wreath upon his door, and soon they'll carry him away. He stopped loving her.
Both of those songs are playing on the Wurlitzer jukebox in my head right now, 10 minutes after learning that Congressman John Lewis died on July 17, 2020. When my buddy, Duane, texted around midnight to tell me of his passing, my first thought was, man, you know better than to answer the phone after midnight. It's never good news. My second thought and return text was, he stopped loving us today. Nothing but love for his country, for his race, for humanity could have made someone endure without bitterness the indignities and violence that Lewis endured. 55 years later, you still can't look at what happened to him on that Edmund Pettus Bridge near Selma, Alabama, without wincing. In a comprehensive obituary, the Washington Post reported, when a former supporter of the Ku Klux Klan named Elwin Wilson popped out of history in 2009, asking forgiveness for having severely beaten then-freedom writer Lewis in 1961 at a Greyhound bus station in Rock Hill, South Carolina, Lewis took him on 3 TV shows to show that, quote-unquote, love is stronger than hate. I only met Lewis twice, once when I think I startled him by sneaking up on him at an airport and enthusiastically telling him how much I appreciated him, but I feel like I lost a friend. Shaking Lewis's hand gave me a spiritual sensation. Everyone's a hero, but for different reasons. When Lewis ran for Congress to represent Georgia's 5th District, many Georgians I knew preferred the smooth, urbane Julian Bond, a warrior in his own right, to be sure, over Lewis. It wasn't unusual to hear colleged people criticize Lewis's at times tortured pronunciation and syntax, or the fact that his subjects didn't always agree with the verbs. Upon hearing such criticism, I pointed out, promptly, profanely, and proudly, that while his critics were taking piano lessons, learning the latest dances, or fretting over which color socks to wear to their high school proms, Lewis was out getting his head beat in and stomped and kicked so that others would have opportunities to vote or study how to conjugate a verb. Besides, his voice to me during our one-minute conversation sounded like what I imagine an orchestra of angels sounded like. When Lewis was criticized for not being black enough, yes, a man who was battered and brutalized by the law for being black was criticized by other blacks for not being black enough. His response was, as that post-obituary noted, "I follow my conscience, not my complexion." Since he was known as the conscience of Congress, that is a perfect epitaph. Here's another one. He stopped loving us today. And in classical music news, we have this article entitled, Singing in the Dark Times, Eric Whitaker's Virtual Choir Takes on New Meaning. July 18, 2020, All Things Considered, Jeff London. Here's a surprising statistic. According to a survey by Chorus America, 1 in 6 Americans, or 54 million people, sing in choral groups, whether that's community, school, and children's choirs, religious groups, or professional ensembles. But since stay-at-home orders have been issued across many states, choral music here and around the world has completely stopped. It turns out singing is a perfect way to spread coronavirus. So what's a choral singer to do? Well, one could join a virtual choir And that's what over 17,000 people did. Now, 10 years ago, a teenage fan recorded herself singing the soprano line from one of Eric Whitaker's choral pieces and posted it on YouTube. And it gave composer-conductor Whitaker an idea. What if he could get several singers to record themselves in their rooms, doing one of his pieces in the same tempo and key, then stitch the videos together and make a virtual choir? We tried it, and it worked, he says. We had this little virtual choir, 185 singers from 12 countries. I never thought it would go further than my little group or choir geeks, and it went viral. More virtual choirs followed, each getting exponentially larger. Now, of course, the word viral has more connotations, and when Whitaker put out the call to join his latest project, the response was overwhelming. The virtual choir, Choir 6, has 17,562 different singers from 129 countries, he says. When I look at the numbers, and more so when I look at the faces of the people from around the world, I'm just stunned. Wai Jiang, a professional choral singer and hematologist based in Sydney, Australia, says that Virtual Choir 6 has a special and a very different meaning because of the state the world is in. She's been part of every Eric Whitaker virtual choir since the beginning, but says right now she misses being in a room with other singers. You somehow need to learn how to breathe together, how to listen to each other, how to blend with each other, and how to communicate as a collective, Jiang says. I think there's nothing else in my life that's quite like that experience, and that's why I sing choral music. Those are the kind of lessons Danielle Koplinka-Lohr teaches her middle school courses in Culver City, California. It's about building community, she says. It's about students finding their voice. It's about students building their confidence. With school closed, her students couldn't sing together. So Koplinka-Lohr gave them the assignment to participate in Whitaker's virtual choir. She says it was a real challenge for her students to sing along to a guide track alone in their rooms. When you're making your own video, you're very exposed, and I think that a lot of students are understandably a little nervous and anxious about that, Koplinka-Lohr says. Singing a choral piece alone is not just weird for middle schoolers, it's challenging for everybody. Ashley Ballou Bonema, a professional singer from Sioux Falls, South Dakota, who has cystic fibrosis, created her own virtual choir for people with that disease. It's so vulnerable, she says, and everybody hates listening to their own voice. When you're in a choir, you realize that, okay, I'm not alone in this. I'm melding myself a part of something. Over the years, a community has developed on Facebook around Whitaker's virtual choirs where people share their trials, tribulations, and tips. Mark Lodge, an IT specialist who lives in Kent, England, says he's met many people from the Facebook page in real life. But now he says it's a very hard time for the world, and the only way that we can come together is virtually. When Eric Whitaker did his first virtual choir, it was an intriguing curiosity, but right now it feels like an essential lifeline. There's something about joining voices, both metaphorically and literally, that makes us better people, better citizens, more empathetic, more compassionate, Whitaker says. And ultimately, I think that singing is so popular and feels like a thing that we must do because we feel part of something larger than ourselves. Eric Whitaker's Sing Gently debuted on YouTube July the 19th, 2020. So take a listen. I think you'll like it.
The place for beginners or sensitive hearts. Sentimental.
Chardet, smooth operator, introduces our jazz, blues, and soul music news. It's the biography for the singer Chardet, published in biography.com on June the 3rd, 2020. Chardet is a singer who struck a chord around the world in the 1980s with sultry, soul-inspired songs. In the early 1980s, Chardet signed with Epic Records and recorded her first album, Diamond Life, in 1984. A huge hit in her native England, the album also had mass appeal across the pond thanks to such singles as Smooth Operator. The album won Chardet a Best New Artist Grammy in 1986. Chardet was born Helen Fulassade Adu on January the 16th, 1959, in Ibadan, Nigeria. Raised in London by her English mother, Chardet developed several interests as a teen, including singing, fashion design, and modeling. She sang with a few local bands before signing with Epic Records. Chardet's subsequent multi-platinum albums, Promise, Stronger Than Pride, and Love Deluxe, established her as a top-selling soul and pop artist. Her recent recordings include the song Flower of the Universe and the soundtrack album to the 2018 movie A Wrinkle in Time. In Smooth Operator, Chardet sings about a male who is simply, quote-unquote, a player. He is attractive and loved in seven languages across the world, but is insincere and has a cold heart. Essentially, he is a catalyst for unrequited love. And in music research and technology, we have this article entitled Reflecting the Times, Musicians Pen Songs About Quarantine Life. This is written by Mesfin Fekadu, Associated Press, on the 4th of May, 2020. This writer briefly describes 40 songs that were either written while homebound due to the coronavirus, previously written but remixed to reflect the mood, or previously written and re-released because they resonate with the current times. Sarah McLachlan, Justin Bieber, and Michael Bublé, for example, formed the group Artist Can to remix the song playing in the background now, Bill Withers' Lean On Me, to encourage us to lean on one another from 6 feet apart during these difficult times. Others included in this article about songs during quarantine include The Beach Boys' Mike Love with John Stamos' This Too Shall Pass, Randy Newman's Stay Away, Bon Jovi's Do What You Can, Luke Combs' 6 Feet Apart, Bono's Let Your Love Be Known, Drive-By Truckers' Quarantine Together, Gloria Estevan's Put Your Mask On, Avril Lavigne's We Are Warriors, Queen and Adam Lambert's You Are the Champions, Alicia Keys' My House, Norah Jones' Trying to Keep It Together, Jewel's Grateful, Haim's I Know Alone, and the Rolling Stones' Living in a Ghost Town, among many others.
You just call on me, brother, when you need a hand. We all need somebody to lean on. I just might.
Don't they know we're so afraid? Isolation.
And in rock and pop music news, John Lennon's Isolation, covered here by Hart's Ann Wilson. Hart is an American rock band formed in 1970 in Seattle, Washington. Since 1973, the vocalists for Hart have been the sisters Ann Wilson and Nancy Wilson. In April of 2016, Billboard provided an exclusive video of recent Rock and Roll Hall of Fame inductee Hart's Ann Wilson performing a raw, stunning cover of John Lennon's song Isolation. Her cover of that Lennon tune is playing in the background now. Besides Ann Wilson, Jeff Beck and Johnny Depp collaborated on a cover of this John Lennon song in April of 2020. As noted in songfacts.com, Beck and Depp recorded the track in 2019 and decided to release it in April 2020, before the rest of their album, because its theme reflected what people were experiencing during the 2020 coronavirus pandemic. Lennon's poetry, "We're afraid of everyone, afraid of the sun," seemed to Jeff and me especially profound right now. This song about isolation, fear, and existential risk to our world, said Depp. So we wanted to give it to you and hope it helps you make a sense of the moment or just helps you pass the time as we endure isolation together.
Afraid of the sun, isolation.
John Coltrane playing My One and Only Love introduces our local music news. It's entitled Jazz Giant. This is published in Our State magazine, August 2020 issue, by Jeremy Markovic. This article is printed over a photograph of a large mural painting that fills the side of a multi-storied brick building in Richmond County, North Carolina. A tailor named J.R. Coltrane and his wife Alice lived in a second-floor apartment in Hamlet, North Carolina, for about a year, just long enough for Alice to give birth to their only son, John. Months later, in late 1926, J.R. moved his family to High Point, North Carolina, where his son would inherit and later surpass his father's talent for music. Young John Coltrane and his saxophone went on to change the jazz world forever. In June 2020, Hamlet honored its larger-than-life native son with a larger-than-life mural. It's the first of many that Chapel Hill artist Scott Nurkin plans to paint in the hometowns of North Carolina-born musicians. The mural is just a half mile from where Coltrane was born, a reminder that big lives often begin in small towns. So how'd you do on today's musical trivia questions? Well, the answer to our first question, which of the seven basic types of voices is the rarest? As noted in theopera101.com, the contralto is the lowest of the female voice and by far and away the rarest. The contralto range is roughly from the F below middle C to a high F one octave above middle C. Prior to the early 1800s, the contralto sound was viewed as unromantic and unsexy, so many of the parts written were older characters, often unpleasant, sometimes humorous. The art of contralto singing, according to the source, is dangerously close to extinct. The soprano is the highest female voice type, and they often take the leading female role. Singing slightly lower is the vocal range of an operatic mezzo-soprano. Mezzos are too often relegated to supporting roles or villains. The highest male voice type is the countertenors, sometimes described as falsettos. Although relatively rare, this type is more of a technique. Tenors are described as frequently taking the leading male role. Baritone is the middle male voice, and bass is the lowest voice of all. These basic voice types are further divided into subcategories, and singing voices frequently overlap the ranges for each type. And the answer to our second question, what, according to the Guinness Book of Records, is the size of the largest choir ever assembled? And the correct answer is answer E. GuinnessWorldRecords.com lists the largest choir ever organized at 121,440 people. This choir sang for over 5 minutes in Chennai, India, in 2011. By the way, the largest music lesson ever given, according to Guinness, was in Malaysia in 2019 when 2,869 students learned how to play the ukulele. So let's close out today's program with North Carolina locals Catherine Whalen on ukulele and banjo and her Squirrel Nut Zippers bandmates singing about our granddads as role models for adjusting to hard times. If it was good enough for granddad.
Good enough for granddad, good enough for me, the way it was, that's the way it's got to be. Told me all about the good times that he had, even when the times were sad, was good enough for granddad. Been to all kinds of places, been to every old foreign land, ain't a man alive, shucking jive, better than granddad can.
Well, we've run out of time for today's episode of Music Review. And as we leave you, remember these words. Kindness is a language which blind people see and deaf people hear. Be sure to tune in at the same time next week. I'm Randy Thompson, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. Content of this program intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Music Review readily available as a podcast after the broadcast in our website, ncreadingservice.org. Now, if you have a suggestion for music to feature on this program, please leave a message for me, Randy Thompson, at 919-832-5138. So long. Until next time.
All the good times that he had, if they were good enough for granddad, they're good enough for